This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by mmcomfortsystems.com. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? A Jason Rant exclusive.
It's a story you will only hear about on this show because we have a large fan base of folks who just adore going out to get really bad Chicago-style pizza. Although in this case, the fan who gave us the tip on this story probably not returning to one of the two woke pizza shops that decided to jump all in to the vaccine shaming game, which we find pretty despicable. The way that they did it was begging for attention, so I decided, you know what, I'll give them some attention. Windy City Pie says that the unvaccinated should not be allowed to eat in restaurants ever. Its sister property, Breezy Town Pizza, says you have to be vaccinated even if you're going in to pick up your to-go order. So go in what I think most people would accurately call as, this is actual transitory behavior, unlike our inflation. You go in, you say, oh, I'm John, I'm here for the, okay, and then you're out, maybe within 14 seconds. But you won't be allowed onto the property to pick up your to-go order unless you show your vaccine paperwork. These are policies that you put out because you want to make some sort of point, that you think somehow you are clever, that you think somehow you're going to make a difference, but ultimately you think that somehow you are a better person than anyone else who chooses to go a slightly different route with their private medical decisions. These are two stores owned by who appears to be a pretty hardcore leftist who I'm assuming is pro-abortion. But when it comes to your body, your choice on the vaccine, nope, sorry. Now, before we dive into this, they can do this. No one is arguing that they can't. But the way they're doing it is the wrong way. Windy City Pie is in Seattle's Finney Ridge neighborhood. You can go there if you want really crummy, burnt Chicago-style deep dish pizza. And I guess now a bit of snark. Normally, I'd be down with the snark. In this case, not so much.
Where do you stand on Chicago-style pizza?
It's trash, okay. Like all Chicago-style food, including their stupid hot dogs. So you go to this website for Windy City Pie, and they put up their COVID vaccination policy because presumably some people might show up, say, oh, wonder what we can get away with. Obviously, this is located in King County, thus you still have to provide a vaccine passport to go in. However, they go one step further. Because under the county rule, you can show a negative COVID test, not at Windy City Pie. They say no to the COVID test. You also have to be fully vaccinated if you choose to eat outside, which, again, is going further than the actual mandate goes. There is virtually no evidence to suggest that COVID spread outside is even marginally statistically significant. It is not. It is almost impossible to catch COVID outside. We're at the point where you need to know someone is COVID positive, go outdoors, and have them literally cough into your mouth. And even then, unless you're making out at that point, and there's nowhere for the air to go in between your mouth and that stupid person's mouth, you're stupid if you're coughing into someone's face. I saw that look.
Or making out at Windy City Pizza.
You cannot get COVID. It's very, very hard. It's not impossible, but it's almost impossible. But again, they couldn't just rest on that ridiculous policy. They went one step further. The website has this line. Indoor dining is finally back. If you are voluntarily not vaccinated, please eat elsewhere. And then they cross out elsewhere and then they say nowhere. You got that? You're not allowed to eat anywhere because you're unclean. You're dirty. You're dirty. This isn't a message citing its policy. They are making a statement. They are conveying their disdain for the unvaccinated. And it's the kind of message, because we've been covering people who put this garbage out all the time. This is the kind of message that seems to only come from people who get vaccinated only so they can claim some sort of high moral ground, that they get vaccinated so that they can shame others, not because they think it protects them from COVID, but because it gives them some sort of moral leg up. on everybody else. It is the medical version of a virtue signal. Windy City Pie doesn't care that maybe you've recently recovered from COVID and you have natural immunity. It doesn't care that you might have a sincerely held religious belief. They don't want you eating anywhere, including at a restaurant that would say, oh yeah, absolutely, you can eat outdoors. They don't want you to eat anywhere because they believe, at least the manager does, that he is a COVID hero. That's my take. Except it actually gets worse, because over at Breezy Town Pizza, this is in South Seattle. They also do Chicago-style pizza, but also Detroit-inspired pizza, which I'm not entirely sure what that is. And
Detroit pizza's good.
I don't even know what that is. First of all, deep dish pan pizza is crap. You want to know why?
Why?
Because it's all bread. It's all bread. That's
okay,
not
you're
pizza.
You're anti-carbs, though.
No, I'm anti-bad pizza. Get a normal-sized pizza with normal crust. It's disgusting. In fact, this is one of their menu items. Corn chowder pizza. Okay?
Corn chowder?
Corn chowder pizza.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm on board
with
that. Yeah,
so stop it with your, I'm going to defend them because Jason's going after them. This is a horrible menu.
I'm not defending them. I'm defending pizza.
This menu is, go defend that pizza. Well it's no, for people who like corn chowder and pizza but have always wondered, how can I have it at once? No! You could, by the way, just dip it into the if you needed to have it.
That sounds kind of nice.
It's shut up. It's awful. Now, same policy in effect as far as you can't eat indoors or outdoors. I don't think actually they have an outdoor space, but indoors you can't eat unless you have a vaccine passport, but you can't show a test that's negative to get in. Where it does go, or at least it mentions here that it doesn't mention on the other website, we require proof of vaccination in order to enter our establishment, including to-go orders. So let's understand this from the high holy leader of the vaccine movement. He believes that is somehow dangerous for you to go into the store with a mask on, interacting with someone else who has a mask on for about 14 seconds to pick up their deep dish Detroit style corn chowder nonsense grossness. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. So why, of course, does he do this? This has nothing to do with science. This has nothing to do with health. This doesn't protect anyone. This is a stupid rule. This is a rule that he is using to prop himself up, but also I think he believes that he can be a part of this movement to bully people into submission. We're going to make your life as hard as humanly possible to force you into a decision that you don't want, that might not be best for you. Now, the founder of these two pizza shops, his name is Dave Lichterman. And I Googled him and I found his social media accounts. And he appears to be a hyper-partisan, which probably explains why these restaurants are trying to shame people whose medical decisions this guy disagrees with. But it might also put into perspective this policy as one to garner this kind of unearned social currency in a city that rewards people for taking these holier-than-thou progressive stances. And that's exactly what this is. It seems obvious that this guy is seated firmly on that bandwagon of shaming people, and it's not going to work, especially if you seem to be best known for having burnt pizza. Because I did also start to Google this place, and there was a national story about how they burn their pizza, and photos of their burnt pizza went viral. When you go onto their Yelp review page, after you get through the ones that read actually like they're fake, you find the one-star reviews, not the ones who left one-star reviews as a result of this article. You push those aside because those are also fake. But then you find all the people complaining. Yeah, I thought I was going to have a great time here, but my pizza was burnt. Everyone is saying the same thing. It is ridiculous. If you were providing a service or a product that people could not live without, you might have some sway in getting them to change their behaviors. Let's be clear, if the grocery stores were now mandated to only serve people who were vaccinated, it's going to force people exploitatively and I think disturbingly into getting a vaccine or into showing off their paperwork. You don't have that, sir. You have some crappy looking, disgusting sounding pizza. That's deep dish, and deep dish to begin with is trash. It's absolute trash. Now, if you want to call out these kinds of policies, if you want to read up on this story, check out the page at ktth.com or text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. I'll be on Fox News at night at 9:30 talking about that pizza shop, as well as my story yesterday about a Seattle Parks event that was very clearly racist. I hope you'll check it out tonight at 9:30. But if you can't watch it live, of course, you can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/JasonRants. I did find out someone said that Detroit style is square pizza that has crispy edges and the sauce is on top instead of the bottom. And that's just dumb.
It's kind of nice.
That's awful.
It's kind of nice.
No, it's not. That's especially messy. It's the cheese on top that's melted that stops the sauce from getting all over the place and getting on your face so you look like a child who's using their hands to eat out of a bowl.
Have you ever thought about this? Don't knock it until you try it, Jason.
I've had Detroit style.
Then why'd you have to question what it was?
Because I didn't realize it was the square pizza with the... I've heard of it. I've had it. I didn't know that that was called Detroit style.
Yeah, it's Detroit style. Well,
Detroit. What has Detroit given us lately?
I can't think of
one nothing.
Thing. M&M?
Yeah, it's become a failure. And you know what? Here's a hypothesis. I think it's due to the pizza.
And they gave us the movie 8 Mile, so that was pretty cool. God.
Take that one back. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Weatherpocalypse-mageddon.
Yeah, we finally actually got to use our little sounder there. Weatherpocalypse-mageddon was today. And I have to say, I didn't realize... I heard that the actual wind was coming. I kind of downplayed it. I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal because every time I'm promised something, end of times like scenario related to the weather, it doesn't actually come to fruition except for the heat. That actually happens, but mostly because I'm being punished for actually hating the heat. And so I didn't realize the wind would get as bad as it ended up being. And I didn't realize it was coming with rain. I thought it was just supposed to be a windstorm. And yet this morning I woke up at 4 a.m. and I couldn't fall back to sleep. And I just kept hearing something, and I didn't know what it was. And then it sounded like something crashed. And then I went into my living room to find out it was something that crashed, a candle that somehow got blown off of a... It's right by the windowsill. I have like a bookcase of some sort. It's like a standalone bookcase. And I have a candle right at the top. It blew it right over because the window was open. And I realized, oh my God, it actually is end of times. And this building is going to collapse. So I quickly ran out of my building because I'm on a high floor. Didn't take the elevator, obviously, because, well, what if it was to something happen with the power and I would get stuck?
We've all seen
so it. I go down the stairs and I run out screaming for people to get out of their homes. No one listened. It turns out the building still stands, but I did get in my cardio for the day. But other than that, it's just been a total nightmare with the wind.
You had your window open this morning at 4 a.m. when it was probably like 43 degrees
or
less?
I always keep my window open. What do I like in the studio? What's the temperature?
It's like 54 right now over there, 58, somewhere in that range.
57.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. So that's how I like my home as well.
I picture you as somebody who leaves all of your windows open in your apartment, but then when you get cold, rather than closing them, you just turn on the heat higher to try and counterbalance it because you like spending
space
money.
Yeah, I pull out the space.
That's exactly what you do?
No, I never complain. Well, I always complain about how cold it is, but you're correct in that I don't actually close the windows. It's been a total nightmare all across the area. Lots of people have their power out. Some of it has already come back, but a lot of it has not. Earlier this morning, I was listening to Todd, and he was talking about how he was seeing all these reports of just some of the crazier kinds of accidents that you have on the freeways when things like this happen, down power lines. You had just recently, about an hour ago, out in Silverdale, a woman named Amy started to record some of the weather as it started to hit and get really bad. That's wind. That's wind. That?
Oh my goodness.
She said, oh my goodness. That's how you set up the sort of the theatrics of theater of the mind version of radio when talking about weather.
Was it wind or was it tornado?
It was wind, although there was the tornado warning that went into effect it was definitely wind, and she spoke to our sister station.
It's right on top of us. That lightning was crazy just now. Oh, man. It was thunder really, really loud, and then just bam, lightning.
And right in the middle of the interview, it swept her away, and we don't know where she went. And we blame Cairo for this.
Wow. That stinks for them.
I know. I think the desk editor who pulled the sound was arrested the other just now.
Like that's incredible.
If that's not a
sign for people to just listen to KTTH all day long, then I don't know what is.
100%. When we cover these kinds of stories, obviously we understand that there's a potential for loss of life. Hopefully none of that happens. This was one of the things that we knew ahead of time was going to happen. I'm assuming some people heeded the warnings. Others were probably in their office at the time where the really bad stuff went. We know that the front moved east with what started just as breezy weather, and then all of a sudden it got really, really intense. There are wind advisories still in effect, probably for the next, it says up until 4 p.m., so we'll see how much longer that goes. I can tell you that the high wind warnings are officially gone. I haven't seen an update on any flood warnings, so that's gone. However, I do have a favor to ask as it relates to these kinds of things, and it's going to relate specifically to someone who's a little bit more tech savvy than you, so you don't have to weigh in on this one because you're probably not going to be able to do it. I have Amazon Echoes in my home, and I have them in all of my rooms. And when there is an alert of some kind, it turns yellow. And it always takes me about 10 minutes to remember what the yellow stands for. Is it a notification? Because if I get another notification telling me that you ordered something from Amazon Prime 16 months ago, it's time to reorder. I'm like, no, it's not. That's why I haven't ordered it since 16 months ago. And then I finally remember, oh, you have to ask it for what's the notification or what's the alert. One of those is correct. I always get it wrong. I can't remember which one it is now. The first time I do it, they say, I don't understand. Stupid. And then I yell at it, and then I finally get it. Here's something I've noticed. Two things with the Amazon Echo, and I'm going to go off on a tangent in a moment because it's really pissing me off. Number one, why is it that when you have multiple of these Echoes in the home, once you get an alert and you ask one Echo to give you the alert, it erases it on that particular Echo, but none of the others. And so when you get an updated alert, as we did today, and I happened to have been in my bathroom brushing my teeth at the time, I asked it to tell me what the alert was. And it started from an alert from 3 weeks ago, and every single one that came after that, it just kept going and going. And then I called it by its name. We can't say it on the radio or it might trigger your individual Echo, but I said, let's pretend it was Peyton. Peyton, delete notifications. And Peyton tells me, I don't know what that is.
Weren't you brushing your teeth, though? What would it sound like?
I spit out.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, of course.
I thought you were like mid-brush.
No, I saw it. I finished, and then I asked
it. What would it sound like if you were mid-brush?
Peyton! Like that.
Okay.
And I finally, after, I swear to God, I was yelling at this thing for 3 minutes. And do you ever get angry at the Echo and her name in an angry way? Like, shut the hell up. And then it gives you, well, you don't have to talk to me like that. It actually talks back sometimes when you do that, or at least when I use some of the language I use. Number two, now every time that I'm like, tell me what the weather is today, it tells me, and then it goes, by the way, and it gives you a suggestion. I could also tell you what the weather's going to be like in 2023, on this day in 2023. Would you like to know that? No! Every time I ask it, it gives me a new suggestion. How do we stop that? I turned off the hunch mode. It's called hunch in the settings. How do I get it to stop giving me suggestions?
You get a Google Home?
No, because then that one's going to do it. I'm not going to learn a whole new system.
No, the Googles don't bother you in that sort of way.
My
it's great.
God,
they
it's just it's so annoying. Sorry. Other than that, it's still windy and crummy outside. Although the sun comes out for like 10 minutes and then it goes away again.
See, that was the problem. When I was driving up here, it was raining, but it was also sunny, so nobody could see anything because then the lights were reflecting off all the rain. That was kind of scary.
You're such a baby.
Oh,
I'm so scared, Andrew.
Because I want safe driving conditions.
I don't like the dark. I'm scared the boogeyman might get me. He might come into my car.
Sorry, I'm
my souped-up car.
Oh,
my God, it's the worst. Oh, I had to hydroplane. Oh, my car flipped over 4 times. Oh.
Why don't you get a car? Because you don't want to deal with this.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with it. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. Thank you so much for tuning in live on this Tuesday afternoon. Democrats are pretending that Congressman Paul Gosar sent out what's being called an AOC murder fantasy video, which of course is stupid. They will never get over the gaslighting. And now, amidst this false outrage, they're pretending that the congressman should be removed. So Gosar tweeted out this anime spoof of him and some others in Congress being characters on a popular Japanese anime. It's called Attack on Titan, Peyton's favorite show.
Yeah, I mean, it's top three for sure.
I watched the anime a few times, and I have no frame of reference for it, but it seems just as annoying and stupid as all anime tends to come off to me.
Take it easy over there.
I'm just saying.
Anime has a great place in this world.
No, it really doesn't. The people who claim that it's some sort of amazing art form. No, it's not. Shut up.
Fantastic art form.
That's cultural appropriation.
I am Japanese.
Do any of the characters look Latino?
No.
Cultural appropriation.
Okay. Sorry.
So this is how Mediaite describes the video. Because, again, I've watched it a number of times, and it's hard for me to explain what it is I'm seeing. Because it's all just over-the-top jumping and slicing with knives and stuff. The opening slide shows Gosar's name under Japanese text, which reads, Attack of Immigrants. And then shows images of Gosar's face superimposed with the U.S. Capitol. And eventually on a sword-wielding ninja that stabs a large creature with Ocasio-Cortez's face on it. And it mentions the attack of immigrants because spliced throughout it are videos of the migrant crisis at the border. Now, when I say I watched it a number of times, I should give you a little bit of some context as to why. That AOC reference, I watched it four times, and I still don't see AOC's face in it. I see the message or the part of it that they're referring to with the stabbing in the back with the ninja sword. I see that. Does not look like AOC. Had they not told me it was AOC, I would not have realized it was AOC. I'm going to assume that they're being honest here. It's AOC. The Biden's at the end of it. Biden's very clear.
I was gonna say, did you see the Biden part?
I saw the Biden. Okay. That's very clear. Did you watch the video?
Biden's face is massive in it. Yeah.
It's fully Biden's. Could you tell that was AOC?
No.
I honestly couldn't tell.
Just skipping around, like looking for her.
Well, I skipped around too, waiting because I got to the end and I saw Biden and I was like, okay, maybe this is obviously going to be obvious. Where could it be? Couldn't find it.
No, yeah. It was a challenge.
It really was. They're assuming, by the way, that this creature was murdered. It just got stabbed. It was a giant, and the little Titan ninja is the size of a thumbtack.
So you're thinking on the storyline that the AOC character they described could have survived.
Yeah, in cartoons, they always survive.
Yeah,
and then
like
they come back
when
in a
anvils
future.
Drop on, you know, Wile E. Coyote and all that.
So now we're pretending that this is a literal death threat. They are actually pretending on the Democratic side and in the media that this is a literal death threat that has to be not just investigated, but result in Gosar getting kicked out of Congress. The legal analyst for CNN, the one who wasn't caught touching himself in bad places in front of his colleagues on a different Zoom call, Eli Honig. He was on this morning, and boy, did he just lead into the hyperbole.
I think it goes without saying this is unbelievably dangerous.
No, hold on. It doesn't go without saying. If it went without saying, we wouldn't have to hear you say something so unbearably dumb for the next 33 seconds. So it doesn't go without saying, but, you know, say what you will.
I think it goes without saying this is unbelievably dangerous and irresponsible. Now,
dangerous. It's dangerous. It might inspire an anime ninja to go ahead and attack a giant beast that doesn't look anything like AOC. And by the way, that ninja, I believe, jumped from a building onto this giant monster, AOC. Right? It was a building, right? Because there was like this, it was pretty high.
Yeah, let's go with building.
What was it?
I don't know.
I swear to God, I've seen this thing a number of times. I have no idea what's in this video.
You watched it a number of times. I watched it once and thought, that's more than enough for me today. Shut the laptop.
Because you were so offended because it's dangerous. I had to sit Peyton down and be like, you cannot look at this and then go commit some sort of act of violence against AOC. He had his ninja sword out and everything. And then I turned to him and I said, well, that's, how do you have a ninja sword? He's like, I'm Japanese. And I said, well, that's kind of racist.
An appropriation, because it wasn't like a Latino ninja sword either.
It was just weird.
Japanese.
Paul Gosar is going to get a visit from the Secret Service. There's no question about that. The other thing to keep in mind, the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, gives the House of Representatives and the Senate the power to expel, kick out its own members by a two-thirds vote. Now,
could you just real quickly, and I'll pause you for a second. You could also tell us what the First Amendment says, which very clearly covers this kind of clear parody. You understand that, right? That this is protected speech? Oh, no, you don't. You're just a legal analyst for CNN, so better check those credentials.
That is very, very rarely done. But you have to ask, if not now, when? I mean, what person at what company in the United States, public or private, would not get fired for doing something like that? So Congress has that constitutional power. We'll see whether there's any will to exercise it.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And then Adam Schiff, the congressman who spends his days lying about Donald Trump, still lying about Donald Trump on TV, had this to say on The View.
First of all, he has no business being in Congress.
He has no business being in Congress, says the guy who defended the actual anti-Semite Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. Okay.
Should have never been elected. He doesn't belong there.
He doesn't belong there, says the guy who spent all of Trump's term claiming Russian collusion, where not only did it not exist, but it came from a dossier that was completely fabricated, and he knew it at the time, but he said it anyway. But Paul Gosar, who sent out a joke video on Twitter, oh my gosh.
You know, sadly, the Republican conference is now characterized by numerous kooks and dangerous cranks.
Unlike the Democrats, who pretend that they didn't embrace defunding the police, they didn't embrace by ignoring the violence of Antifa. Antifa? Huh? They don't exist. That's a figment of your imagination. That was created by some conservative. And you know what? In that same meeting where they created Antifa, they also created critical race theory. That doesn't exist. They just want to turn your attention away from this thriving economy that is not being impacted by inflation at all. They just want to take away your attention from the totally 100% not a crisis at the border. We're on to you, Republicans.
Yes. Which he has won. And when you consider where, you know, the leadership of that conference is, they're talking today about removing from committees Republicans who voted for a bipartisan infrastructure bill. Their sin was voting for a bipartisan bill to rebuild our roads and bridges. And
that puts the majority of the money out of actual transportation projects, right? Okay. Now, the funny thing is, in a story like this, and I get annoyed by stories like this because I don't actually like Paul Gosar. I find him to be an embarrassment to the Republican Party. I would prefer another Republican in that position. But I am not going to sit back and allow people like Adam Schiff and very dishonest members of the media pretend that what he did here was somehow impeachable, criminal. Secret Service is going to show him a visit. Right. Says the folks from the party that quite literally called for violence.
Well, we got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
Maxine Waters, during the height of the Summer of Love, the riots that were breaking out and murdering people, rioters killing people, she said, we have to continue to take to the streets. We got to get more confrontational. More confrontational than a riot? Really? But Kamala Harris then, at the time, candidate Harris, saying all this is all, it's kind of essential.
So I always am going to interpret these protests as an essential component of evolution in our country.
Okay, an evolution in our country, she said, as literal buildings were burnt down. Businesses destroyed. All that happened, and it wasn't actual violence. And yet you get a parody satirical, however you want to call it, a joke anime video, and it's a literal threat. It's actual violence. This is dangerous. Not the burning down of buildings. Well, you know, we'll put a CNN and MSNBC reporter in front of literal flames that are engulfing a building and saying, oh, it's mostly peaceful. You know, it's otherwise peaceful. That, no condemnation whatsoever. A joke video on Twitter? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we got it. Thanks, guys. Such a joke. These people are such jokes. I still don't understand the video, though. I'm going to go watch.
Don't watch it again. You've spent so much time today.
No, when I get home, I'm going to watch the Something of the Titan. What is it called? The Something of the Titan.
Rise of Titan?
No.
It's like my third favorite show.
Attack on Titan.
Attack. I knew that. That's like
my Titan a city? Attack on Titan?
No, they're attacking a Titan.
But it's not. It's Attack on Titan.
No, the Titan is a thing. It's a person.
It's a, okay. Is it AOC?
No, it's not. That's in the depiction of the video.
But it's Biden.
It's Biden, yes. But that's
Biden's not tight.
Superimposed in the.
No. I got that.
That's not
that
an
part.
Actual clip from the.
No, I got that part. Okay. I can tell anime from real life.
From
photo.
Joe Biden's face.
Yeah. I'm going to watch season one when we get home.
I thought that's what you did in like your 4-hour meeting today. I thought that's all you did was watch anime.
Nope. I'd rather have done that. 1-800-465-8777 if you want to send me a text message. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. There is one scorchingly awful take from the Seattle Times. It came from their editorial board. They decided to go after Kim Wyman, Secretary of State, who is on her way out. I believe she's going to be on the show this week, I think on Friday, to talk through this decision. And they don't go after her for that, which I know a lot of Republicans are going after her for. They're going after her for the dumbest reason possible. This is such a bad reason. In fact, what they're attacking her for is something they should be lauding her for. She had the audacity to not mandate vaccines for her staff as a condition of employment. I know. It is diabolical. They write in this editorial today, Wyman's irresponsible decision flouted public health advice and placed her employees and the public needlessly at risk. No, it didn't. Could you tell me if there were even any, not even outbreaks, but any contacts with people who were COVID positive within her workforce? Seattle Times? I mean, they put everyone at risk. More risk going to a Secretary of State's office, which, you know, members of the public do all the time. More risk there than going to a grocery store where the vaccine mandate doesn't exist. More people go to a grocery store, but okay. But in this case, it's risky. They write, Wyman told the Northwest News Network's Austin Jenkins she was unwilling to force a choice between vaccination and unemployment. This supposed mercy only works for people who still refuse the free, effective, and demonstrably safe vaccines. They say that as if having it be free, effective, and demonstrably safe changes someone's religious convictions. They say that as if it changes someone's understanding of natural immunity that does not last forever. But you do obviously have it after getting COVID. They say that as if that changes the fact that maybe you don't want to have to prove that you're vaccinated, also you can keep a job. They write, for everyone else, it put the stress directly on the people concerned about their health. Why would it do that? The people who are concerned about their health, I'm assuming, are vaccinated, right? So if they're vaccinated, aren't they protected? Seattle Times editorial board? That's what we were told. They're protected, yes? You do know that even if you had the vaccine streaming through your body 2 weeks exactly prior, you can still catch COVID and spread COVID. the benefit of the vaccine, and there's lots of data to show this, it prevents you from getting seriously ill. Are there some exceptions? Yes, especially people who are of a certain age or have underlying health conditions. But overall, it is incredibly good at protecting you from getting seriously ill. You will get COVID. You will get COVID at some point in your life, maybe multiple times. But their argument is not based in any understanding of how COVID or this vaccine works. They say Wyman ordered most staffers to resume work in person in August, the month Inslee and other agencies declared vaccination a condition of employment. Wyman's workers instead had to choose between being around people at a needlessly high risk of being contagious or having no job. So kind of like having to choose between getting a vaccine one doesn't want and having no job, like that. So in other words, instead of mandating you do something that you didn't want to do, she said you can be responsible adults on your own. And that upsets the Seattle Times. They conclude, Wyman, who's leaving November 19th, should have been a champion for the strongest workplace safety protocols. This rare lapse in judgment tarnishes Wyman's otherwise stellar record of wisdom and nonpartisan integrity. Kind of just oozes with this kind of self-aggrandizement. This is the version of the Windy City pizza place that puts up their, you know, their very strong position on vaccines as if it's not okay for them to hold it themselves. They have to have everybody else hold it for them. I had a question for a friend who is with the Times. I won't say his or her name because if they're friends with me and it's outed, he or she will be fired in probably a heartbeat. But I asked this person, does the Seattle Times mandate the vaccine? Any ideas what the answer was?
I'm going to assume that they don't.
No.
Hmm.
So it's weird that they go after Kim Wyman's office, but dare not actually turn attention to the Seattle Times. Now, I'll reach out to the Seattle Times and I'll see if this is in fact correct. Maybe my friend isn't my friend, but an enemy, and they keep enemies closer, as that saying goes that I can't remember what it meant and really don't even care, because why would you want to hang out with an enemy other than to feed them misinformation that they can use on air? So I'll go double check. I'll ask. I don't think they'll respond, but I'll ask what their policy is. It just seems rather odd if that is in fact their policy, why they would then go after a different person, a different boss, a different business, essentially, even though it's not technically a business. Why would they do that to attack a policy that they themselves don't actually employ? Do they not care about workplace safety? I mean, think about the lone worker at the Seattle Times who has to go in, not only put up with the insufferable beliefs of their columnists, but then wonder, do I take a job or do I save my life?